Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Om Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Paramatma Sundarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 5. The jiva is infinitesimal by nature. Page 73. Thus the jiva spreads by its qualities. Shankar says in commenting on Brahma Sutra 2.3.27, the jiva is said to be small, residing in the heart. It spreads through the body by the quality of consciousness. Lomebhya A na naka grebhya, to the hairs and to the tips of the nails. Chandogya Upanishad 8.8.1. Pragyaya shariram sama rudhya. The jiva spreads in the body by consciousness. Kaushitaki Upanishad 3.6. Thus the jiva spreads throughout the whole body by its quality. Since it is separately taught that the jiva is the agent and knowledge is its effect. If the word pragya means by intelligence, it would be impossible for it to spread in the body since it is also anu. Pragya therefore means jiva. Right? Because intelligence, the amount you have, because it's the amount that fits inside 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, right? Mm. Yeah. Purva paksha.
I don't understand. This anu and intelligence, why?
Because some will say it's through intelligence that it spreads, but it's the jiva itself. See, basically what's happening is that they're trying to say that the jiva is not the one spreading and this and that consciousness, because it's all illusion and this and that anyway. So everything's covered and all that. So they're trying to avoid these aspects. And so then we're saying, no, the jiva's there, he's small by nature, but he pervades through consciousness. Because they'll come up with different ideas of how they pervade and what they are and everything like that. So then in here, as you're pointing out, it's not intelligence that they're spreading. It's through consciousness that they're spreading. Because you can be conscious of something and not using your brain at all. So, you know. Yes?
In Kapil Gita, there are two definitions of consciousness or citta.
Mm.
One is consciousness and one is the combination of mind, intelligence, and false ego.
Yes.
So what is their definition of consciousness? How do they define citta?
I don't know. Have you come across how they define consciousness or the citta?
Who?
The Mayavadis.
Yeah. Means anyone else other than us.
But everybody has like different ones. Patanjali is where they are the ones who discuss on the cognition the most. Three levels of cognition and then citta. But consciousness is actually, from Vedantic perspective, they refer to the Karana Sharir. That's the only...
The Karana Sharir is what's conscious?
Yes.
Okay.
Polluted consciousness refers to the Karana Sharir.
Because citta is also known as polluted consciousness. But it can also be pure consciousness.
Right.
But it just means the seat of consciousness. Because when you say consciousness, then what are you conscious of? You know, mind, intelligence, false ego. What are the agencies of that consciousness? So that's why you see sometimes it just says consciousness, sometimes it says mind, you know, intelligence and ego. Just like you say, I went driving. You don't have to say, I went driving by, you know, moving the wheel and pushing the pedals.
Yeah.
You know, it means because that's what you're doing. You're steering the wheel, you're moving the gears, you're pushing the pedals. Through that, you're driving the car. So the consciousness then is contacting the world through those three. So when you say chitta, when you say polluted consciousness or consciousness, it will include those others. Or you can be more specific and then mention that. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you can come up to there, you can say intelligence, but intelligence can also mean the senses. Right? Or you can say the mind, because that's the one, the manas is the one working with them. So then you can say the mind and the senses. You know, yeah. So it's just depending on what you want to bring out in the discussion. But there's no real clear point. I mean, where does consciousness come? Because if it comes, the jiva comes from matter. Where does the consciousness come from? Why does matter become conscious?
For them, consciousness in a pure state means actually having no consciousness.
Oh, okay. Just being empty. So
they refer, at least the Vedanta, Mayavadis refer consciousness as for the jiva.
So in other words, you have the Vaishnavs, then you have six varieties of impersonal philosophy, but based on the Veda, and then you have Buddhism, which is impersonalism, not based on the Veda.
Buddhism is just Nyaya and Vaisheshika without accepting Vedas.
They are like Nyaya and Vaisheshika without accepting Vedas. Okay.
All
their
philosophical points will be...
You covered in those two.
But they don't accept the Vedas.
Okay, so that's why then with those two you can defeat the Buddhist. Okay. So basically you just have those fundamental elements that... Except for Vaishnavas, they don't actually understand Chitta Chitteshwara. They don't really understand it. But at least then the Vedic school is agnostic in that they accept the Vedas and they accept that there's a supreme. Because I think in the Buddhist, there's not even a supreme. There's just nothingness. You know, you don't exist. There's no supreme. This doesn't exist. So it's just a matter of being appreciative of that. But if you don't exist, what's the problem? That means your problems don't exist. So then you're being driven by the anxiety, but the anxiety doesn't exist. So
it becomes really difficult to discuss when terms are not defined, because they bring new terms as if it is like it's always there.
Yeah, just ask them to explain it. You just ask them, what do you mean by consciousness? What do you mean by this?
Then yesterday we discussed with Prakashananda Saraswati, then the Brahman becomes covered by ignorance.
Right.
That part is the jiva.
Right.
And the Brahman covered by goodness, that becomes
Ishvara.
But, you know, where's this all coming from? I mean, what's the source of all those things? It's got to be something.
That's the point they can't explain. So that's where you can catch them is on... See, the thing is, if you discuss on the detail, then there's so much, you know, variety, so much argument. But as soon as you go back to this point, okay, you say the jiva is that. Where did this ignorance come from? Because if it's not Brahman, then that means the absolute's not non-dual. Right? Means that there's something else other than Brahman. You know, it's just like there's God and then there's this devil, and then the devil somehow or another in managing this world is as powerful as God. So it's only if you have faith you can get out. God can't help you. You know? So it's a very interesting, you know, combination that it's gotten. So where does that come from? You know, and then what's the glory in becoming Ishwar if you're also, it's illusory. So why are they calling each other Narayan? Wouldn't they, you know, it's like, you know, it's how you say it. It's just like prisoners, you know, the murderers are considered, you know, the big boys. You know, and if all you did was steal a bunch of bananas, then, you know, you're a small timer. You know, so where does this come from? You know, and then if they say, some of them say it's Leela. And if it's Leela, that means there's pastimes. That means that there's consciousness, then that means desire, then that means there's arrangements and endeavor. So that means Brahman has all that. But then they'll say, oh, no, it doesn't. And they'll have something that they say to cover that. So then don't use this as a point, because that's not the real point. If Brahman doesn't have desires, why would it be lila? Why do you say that? Yes.
Their points are all like, you know, bits and pieces of statements within the statements of a bigger statement from the Vedas. Because when they say jiva is like, you know, Brahman covered by ignorance, we discuss that how the jiva maya is the what covers the jiva.
Right.
But then this buzzword of aropya will put from this side the other way, rather from seeing from up to down.
Right.
It's not that Lord's maya is covering the jiva. It's like the Brahman is covered by avidya fully. It's like that. And then Vishnu is discussed like as a maintainer of mode of goodness, so they project it as Vishnu is covered by goodness.
Mm. Yeah, but they can't explain where this covering comes from, this avidya. And why aropya, and if you don't exist, what's the important? If you're not an individual, what does it matter?
All the terminology they use are from the Vedas itself, but they juggle according to their own interest.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's all from the Veda, so they're just taking a part of it. Just like when you say something and someone else just takes part of what you say and then takes that out of context and then uses that as the argument. So that's all they're doing. So basically, even though they're talking logic, they're actually just using rhetoric. And that's all. They're just trying to win the argument. And that's all. Because there's an attachment there. They can't be God by being the controller and enjoyer here in karma, so they want to be the controller and enjoyer in jnana. So you can always, if someone says something and it doesn't make sense, ask them to define it. You know, if you're talking to someone, you know, how you say, you know, more cultured or something like this, then you, when they say something that doesn't make sense, you're going to ask them to define that so it doesn't turn into an argument. If you're already on one, then it's just, you then define what that means. And much of the time you'll see is, you know, unless you're dealing with someone really schooled in the thought process, then they're not going to have. It's all feelings, it's all moods, because it's all from samskars. So there's something that gave some, oh yeah, this. And you know, it's just like when you have happiness, you're connecting with the Lord, because it's He's giving that. But then we're going to attribute it to the item. And so there's those moments where you get that feeling of that unlimited aspect. So they'll take those and impose those on something else and stuff like that. You know, it's like this, the aropya. But we're seeing it from descending, while they're ascending, so that's why they're mental speculators. They're not actually following the descending process. They may use mechanically a descending process, but they're not actually using the descending process. You know, it's just like devotees may mechanically be using an ascending process, but they're using it within the descending. You know, so it's you can do something about that. But there's also their taste. Some people like to argue. That's where their taste is. You know, just like you were saying yesterday, that they like issues. You're discussing the philosophy nicely, it's going well, but there's a dissatisfaction because they want an issue because that's something to bite on. You know, it's like, remember, once I think we had done something, I don't remember, some kind of construction or something like that. And so nowadays, it's not really talked about. But before, when it was much more of the kind of village mood and all that, Mayapur was smaller and everything. So then, and it wasn't as much about the money. You know, they were getting, you know, like 3 rupees a day or something like that. So, you know, so then after you finished some major work, then you would feed everybody. And so then, you know, okay, then we had, you know, arrangement. We fed, sat down and, you know, we just cooked more of what we ate. You know, sat them down and all that. But then afterwards, when you're discussing with them, they weren't happy.
The labels?
Yeah. Because for them, because I think we gave them Govinda Bhog rice. For them, Govinda Bhog rice is like air. There's no substance, you know. While the red rice, the siddha chow, you know, the boiled one, you know, you can chew on it, you know, it's al dente, you know. And so then they feel, yeah, we got something here. And so from then on, then we knew, okay, you don't feed them this, you know. Yeah. So like that is that you give them something more fine, and there may be no taste for it. So then they always have to kind of bring it down to a level that they can relate to, which means, you know, gramya kata. You know, and then it has some taste.
Yes. In Calcutta, during the Rath Yatra, then all the labors for making the pandal, they stay there. Because you get very less time for making the pandal, because it's okay. A military camp, they give like few days.
Mm.
So that time, initially the devotee was handling, he was feeding them, making the prasad in the temple, going. No matter how excellent it is, they always had complaints. And then one year he got fed up and he said, he called the main manager and gave this much money, then you get it done from outside. No complaints, everybody was happy.
Yeah, because then they also get some extra money. You give them what we would spend, yes. They'll buy less, and at the same time it's got enough chili. And... Because all it is just they know that if they do it, they'll get more money. That's tricks. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Purva Paksha. But there is a distinction of pragya and jiva, just as one refers to the body, and a grinding stone is different objects, right? So the argument then is, no, but there's a difference between these two. Right? Because the pragya can be used in a matter of ways, so in this one it's being used as meaning jiva, and they're saying, no, but it's different. Uttara. But then the meaning of Shruti text would be difficult to explain. Thus, pragya refers to the jiva in the above quotation. Even if one considers the jiva as one entity, its shakti is always shown. Thus, the jiva has been shown to be anu. Further reasons will be given. Purva Paksha. Do not the words dying, leaving, and entering refer to upadis, leaving? Uttara, no, because in the statement the phrase with the upadis, saha, is used. Right? Because you can say is that you're leaving the upadis, the upadis aren't leaving because the point is the body remains there. Right? Like that. Or if you were, Sa yadasmat sharirat samut kramati sahai vaitai. Sahai vai tai sarver ut kramati. When the jiva leaves his body, it leaves with all the senses and sense objects. Right? So it's not the upadis. They're not the ones leaving. It goes with the jiva. Because that's the thing. It says with is used. Because otherwise, if they just say death is the leaving of upadis, then you could say no, but it's with upadis. So it goes. That leaves the external one here, but it goes with the subtle body and the polluted content goes. And so with that, it's created the next. Yes.
The whole point in discussion is this is also that if the jiva is unlimited, then he should not move anywhere, that movement should not be existing. So they kind of argue on that point. If we say the jiva is living, that means he's already, you have to accept it's localized, it's at one place and it's moving from one place to another. From that, it's obvious that he's not unlimited. Or
mm-hmm. But what we don't say is unlimited.
Yeah, yeah. But they say that's why they argue against this point that the jiva living.
Oh, because they're trying to say he's unlimited, so he doesn't move. But yeah. The point is, he moves.
Yes.
He's small. He moves. He pervades.
So when we prove that he's moving, then their point is already.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The word saha applies equally to action with major and minor agents. The jiva leaves with the senses and sense objects. If one argues that the atma is immovable, one cannot say that the jiva in the body is simply like a pot separating the sky. Since there is no proof for this, and one hears that the jiva is actually leaves, it is not simply implying giving up false identity. Yeah, because they're saying he stays there and he gives up that. But that means everyone that dies becomes liberated. So then why do you have to work so hard? Mm-hmm. You know? Gita explains the jiva coming and going from the body with an example. Shariram yad avapnoti yachchap yukra matishvaraha. Griti vaitani samyati vayur gandhan ivasayat. Whenever the jiva accepts or leaves a body, he takes the senses, these senses with him in the subtle body, just as air takes fragrances from objects and goes elsewhere. Bhagavad Gita 15:8. Also it is said, tad anantara pratipatao ramhati samparishvakta prashna niru pana bhayam. On attaining another body after death, the jiva goes, surrounded by subtle elements. This is understood from the questions and answers. Brahma Sutra 3:1:1. The pranas are compared to a chariot. So it's when it's time, you know, when your time for this body is over, then when the next body has been prepared, then you leave this body, you know, because you have to go from one to the next. So it already has to be worked out. That's why, you know, Prabhupada mentions sometimes someone's in a coma and then they die. That's because it takes some time to figure out what's their new situation. You know, it must be very complex or something. So they have to figure all that out.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Many years ago, I heard some devotees explaining this kind of Mayavad concept that originally we are in the spiritual world, and then it's like we are sleeping there, and we are actually not moving, and we are experiencing the material world through while you are sleeping, just like.
And then when we wake up.
And then when we wake up, you are already back. That experience you got in a dream, and then in reality.
So then, why do we need to make an endeavor here?
That's the time, like these kind of speculations, we may just pick it up from here and there. Actually, all of them are Mayavad.
Oh, means this devotee explaining,
yes,
not saying Mayavad philosophy, he was...
Okay. He was explaining, and then initially for like engineering student, something new, it like, no, very nice. But at the same time, I was not satisfied because something is missing there.
Oh, what does that mean? It says the soul is sleeping means he's asleep to his natural position. That doesn't mean he's just taking a nap.
Because those kind of, many times when I hear this kind of intellectual kind of explanations, they always go beyond a bar and then shift to Mayavad. There's a very, like, no?
Yeah.
Pray the search, and you just move and then you speculate. Go on speculating on it, it's already my word.
Yeah. One has to be careful. One has to be careful. It is said, Tasmin nu aham utkranta utkranto bhavishyami. Kasmin va pratishte pratishtasyami. When I leave, what will leave with me? When I am fixed in the body, what will be fixed with me? Prashna Upanishad 6:3. Being situated in a body, the jiva moves like a caterpillar from one body to another, not like a bird rejecting its shell. Because right? the worm, you know, it steps, and only then it'll pick up the back leg. You know, it has to be situated first. Lila ya tiva. It seems to move to and fro. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4:37. The word eva, seems, is used. It takes the lead like a passenger of a chariot. It is also said, tam ukramantam prano nutri kamati sarve prana anu kramanti. The chief prana follows when the jiva leaves. All the pranas follow. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4:42.
What is a chief prana?
Paramatma. Is that what is it?
Yes.
So the chief prana is Paramatma.
And the other prana? the chief prana follows when the jiva is no, when it cannot be paramatma also.
Yeah, because no, here would just be that you have the five life airs. So samana is the first one, all the others are variations. Or prana is a prana, samana, whatever is the first one. Because you have in, that's the air, but out is just the opposite. And then going this way, up and down, like that. So the. Okay? Yes?
So there's a description what happens to the soul in between getting the body. So is it happens in a different time dimension or because here it explains it's constant from one to the other. Then with no description in between, you know, some happens. So how that time happens?
Something has to already be worked out. I don't think it's that when you come there, then Yamaraj is trying to figure out what to do. He's just explaining to you what's happening. So it is most likely then, who's the notary Walla?
Chitragupta.
Yeah, Chitragupta. Then he's already, it's already worked out what it is, his time's up, and so then, like that. And so it means it's worked out what the next body is. And maybe that aspect in between, but the point is it's worked out. So that time after that, that's the time of how you say? Then there may be the time where, you're that rest period, that because one's in the womb, that one's unconscious. There's also the aspect of to prepare one for that body. You know, if you're going from human, I don't think if you're going from dog to giraffe or something that there's necessarily so much need of a preparation. But does that make sense? The point is it's worked out what it is. Because otherwise it can't be you show up there and they don't know what's going on. Is that?
Yeah. He's a good software engineer.
Huh?
Chitragupta is a good software engineer.
He's good. He's figured it out. So that's what I say. If he needs more time, then you're in a coma.
Also, it said that the 11 days after death, it's the time period also for the jiva to leave that attachment. Sometimes even he may die and then
hang around. Yeah, that's why they burn the body, because otherwise they hang around. So the 11th day, that's your offer there, because then it's like
after that,
that's the final goodbyes.
He also says somewhere, I don't remember when, that 9 months, the pregnancy and all that stuff, it also kind of a preparation.
That I'm not sure, because human I don't think you need to prepare the soul for, because that's the common point of their mentality. I probably gives the example of preparing for a pig's body, because that wouldn't necessarily be so great. Because he has a mentality of a pig, but he's acting like a pig, but in a human approach. So then, but his mentality, how it is, whether the impurity and all that, so then he has to be adjusted to, something that very much personifies that mentality, and so that would be a pig. So then, no, good or won't work.
I'm just not clear on the gap. What's the gap filled with? If it's constant from one body to the other.
No, but the one to the other means he already knows where he's going. Means he doesn't know, but who's arranging it knows. You know what I'm saying? Because the important thing, if Yamaraj has already worked it out, then your next body is there. You may need some preparation, you may need a little bit of, a little bit of education before getting into that, by going through the various hells or everything like that. But then once that's done, then you go to that position.
So when the educational process happens, that body is just, the next body is just waiting for the soul to enter that body.
Yeah. I mean, the point is that what we're taking from is the body that will be there is a particular combination of qualities of the universal form. So then when it's time for that, then that body will be put together. It doesn't have to mean that it has to be sitting there and just waiting. It's not like in some, you know, what do you call it? Cryosphere or something like that. You know, and then you just, they wheel it out, thaw it out, and then you... like that. Does that make sense? Because these mechanics and all that are there, because we know that there's going to be a gap, you know, for the change in the mentality, or, you know, for a break, because, you know, so it's been a tough, you know, time dealing with material world, so you get a bit of a break, and, you know, like that, so that when the next body, then you're very enthusiastic, because you see always the small living entities are always very enthusiastic, you know, they've had their bit of rest, they had their bit of change of scene, and so something is there that's done. But for the devotees, they don't need to go through that, so that for the devotees there's no need of too much discussion. Because for the devotees, then you just go from here to the spiritual world. You don't have to go in between. Or if you don't, you go to the heavenly planets, you just show up there and hari bol. Because you don't, for devotees, Yamaraj is not involved. Krishna just sanctions what it is, and then you're adjusted to that situation. But the non-devotees, they all go through Yamaraj. Pious, impious, everybody goes through that. Does that work?
Yeah. Yesterday you mentioned that, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that with the subtle body, still it is a body. So the experience the jiva gains during this purificatory process or whatever it is, mm-hmm. in between physical bodies,
right?
Still, it is within that subtle body.
Yeah, you can also, that would also work there, because if you go to the Helleshris and they cover the body with some special covering so that you can tolerate what they're going to put you through. You know, when they toss you off a mountain, you know, however many times a day they do that, for however many, you know, eons they do that for, so that the body can tolerate that, the subtle body. Mm-hmm. So it's still in the mind, it's in the subtle body that is being experienced, but they put a special covering so that it doesn't fall apart.
Too early.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I say very considerate of them. Yeah, because the mind, you see, Brahma, he gave up bodies, so. But the mentality is there, so that next form and all that, the mentality is there. So. Exact mechanical details, then, you know, it's not talked about, I don't think, so much, because for us, then. Okay, so it's not so relevant for the devotees. But, you know, enough. I think Sixth Canto talks about all these things.
When it goes into more kind of that way, then it goes and shifts into the Shaivism. They discuss on a platform of ether and air.
Where everything goes, okay. Yeah, they and Shaktas would really get into this stuff. But you'd have the Vaitarani River. Depending upon if you're pious or impious, then the river is very nice or not nice. And if you're really impious, you know, or, you know, I mean, and then if you, you know, don't have any, you know, piety is less again, then you have to swim, you don't get a boat. And if you're really impious, then you can't get out of the river until the next Yamaraj, you know. And then if you're pious, it's nice and you have a boat. You know, so there's all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, we don't emphasize on it because that's not for the devotees. Otherwise, then they'll be worried about these things too much. I mean, you know, the tradition, you know, you have in India, but also in the West, at least in the, I think, the kind of around the Mediterranean, for the dead person before they burn, they put gold coins on the eyes. Mm. That's for the boat. So they You know, so for us, we don't. It means we can do those things if you have the family's not devotees and they're dealing with the devotee.
And if you have gold coins.
But yeah, well, I mean, they have to supply the gold coins. That, you know, they're the ones, so you don't want the ritual, so cough up, you know. So. So.
Yeah.
Okay, what your foreseeing Russian questions?
Yeah, yeah. Not that I'm foreseeing, I know.
He knows past, present, and future. They will ask this.
Yeah.
Amazing is that that kind of detail, which is not that important, that the mind will be given, you know, fully to the analyzing it. But then this kind of thing, then
nothing for the mind to catch on.
Yes. No.
So in Kali Yuga, the enjoyment which we want is of all the lower planets, so it's very near to hell. So we're okay. Careful that we should not fall just.
I mean, on your way down, you want to stop at the right place. Okay. So it means that the element is there. It's just like whatever you think of, that's what you're going to obtain. So then, once they've thought of that, that's what they will obtain. That will be where they'll be put. Then they can leave the body. You know what I'm saying? Because with all these statements, whatever is being said by the acharyas and the scriptures, there won't be any contradiction. So that means all of these things are happening. So then you have to then, you know, appreciate how all these things would fit together. But it's not like they're contradictory. They go together. Because as it says, you attain whatever you think of at the time of death. So once you've thought of that thing, and that's where the mind gets fixed, now you're ready for the next body, because your next body has already been established. So you're leaving this one for that one. Now, if in between you're leaving this one and obtaining that one, then there's a little bit of, you know, how you say, there's a bit of a tour or something, then that it's not a problem. You know, it's just like you've decided, okay, I'm buying this or something, like this house, you know. But in between there might be some time, you know. Like that. But in here is that, you know, you have the subtle bodies, so then, I mean, I'm sure Yamaraj is accommodating, because you don't wait. So okay, so if you're there in that time, where do they keep you? What are the rooms? You know, does it have an attached bath or not? Or, you know, does it have a window? You know, so, you know, it's like that. How high is the ceiling? You know, what kind of bed is it? You know, I mean, I'm sure there are answers to that, but what does it matter? You know, it's just like you cook lunch, and I'm appreciating the cabbage, and I'm asking, well, how big was it? You know, the cabbage, you know, like that. You know, so was it really nicely round, or kind of flat, or like that? And how many leaves were inside, and you know, like that? And you know, how many of those little things did you have to cut out? It doesn't matter. It was cabbage. You made a sabji. The sabji was nice. Does that make sense? So they're not important questions. It's things you could. And then if you ask why, then it's always, oh, it was just curious. But, you know, why not be curious about something of useful? Do you have a saying, curiosity killed the cat? Yeah? Or curiosity killed the what do you call it? The snow tiger or something? You know, in other words, they're pointing out is, you know, you have to be careful. Your curiosity can get you into trouble, you know, also, because then you get into things that aren't important. You know? And if you think, oh, but what about free thinking and this and that? Since you can. You're free to think what you like. You want to go back to Godhead, then you have to think in this direction. And you want to not, then you think in that direction. You know, you can't say, no, I'm driving on this road going north, and because my will is I should end up going, I should end up, you know, in Miami, not in New York, you know, then it has, you know, it's against my free will if I end up in New York. No, it's just you're on that road, you'll end up in New York. You go the opposite way, you'll end up in Miami. You know, so it's just one has to know is what you're working with. Is that better?
Yeah, I figured that, you know, some questions you just give it back to the person because mm-hmm. you feel they really want to mm-hmm. talk about it.
Right.
And hence they don't have, you know, much to say. It will be short.
Okay.
So they ask the question, that they give their own answer. And it's like, okay.
Interesting, you know.
Or I put it as an open question for the group.
Okay.
And then, you know, they discuss, I can relax.
Yeah, you can you can sit there and watch the tennis match. Okay, yeah, okay.
And then it's like nobody can complain about the teacher because it's their own discussion. So it's not that important. We can do that, actually. And when it comes to, you know, like, Siddhanta points to be made, then we continue.
Okay. Once they've had their fun.
Otherwise, if you don't, you know, satisfy their interest, they feel discouraged and, you know, not heard, and just everything gets, you know, too mental.
So. Okay. Yeah, no, good. Yeah, I guess you could say I didn't use that technique. I mean, what you're saying is really good. It's a very good way to just kind of step out of it.
Yeah.
But I never used it. I either, you know, how you say, answered up to a point that was of value, or didn't answer it, and then you have what do you call it? Another effect. Is that they're dissatisfied in that, then they go away, and all their friends go away, and so then I'm left with those who do want to discuss. You know, but because I never thought of that one, you just step back and let them work it out. That's really good.
I mean, with Russians, it works.
No. See, it would, because it was just, because I'll always deal with questions up to the point it turns into those questions and then stop. Yeah. But if I had nothing else to do, then it might be fun to go into entertainment. You know. Have a YouTube channel, right? Russian questions.
Otherwise, why only they have fun? I should also have fun.
Yeah,
as a teacher.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like why they should make your life miserable. Let you can enjoy also. Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, it's a really good technique. I like it. No, it's really good. Oh, so when they ask these things that's crazy like that, so then you just ask them, so what do you think? And then see where it goes, and then whether you can answer or not, or then you'll throw it out to the general audience.
Yeah, answer or even paraphrase, that's enough. Whatever they say, you just paraphrase and everybody, you know, nodding their heads.
You just paraphrase it in the correct way.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little correction or something.
Okay.
Or you just put it open, and then if it's, you know, like something to bite on, then they... But I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Or if it's not, then the audience says, oh yeah, it sounds this or sounds that. And then the person says, yeah, it might be, I'll think about it. And then we just
continue. Just move on, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you basically neutralize it. You don't have to... Okay, no, that's better. I never thought of that. Neutralizing.
Only thing is, in the audience, there should not be two enemies sitting. Those who always argue together. If you leave all them, they'll go all in all with each other.
No, with them, because he's talking about it, it's just they like to speculate. There's a taste in speculation. Interesting is new, it's different, it's like that. So it's not so much about winning an argument. It's about just discussing something in a new way. So like what you're talking about, that's a different audience.
That's Indians. those are Russian.
Yeah, Indians will do that. Brazilians will do that.
Indian audience is very different.
Yeah.
The worst thing is a mixed audience.
Yeah. That's why I don't like doing Sunday programs in the West. Because
you've got everybody.
Yeah.
It's Hindus, Americans, Russians.
Yeah. Last year we had one during the class. One Indian man came, looked like a yogi, very tall, sat through the whole class, 2 hours in Russian.
Right.
I was amazed. I thought that he just, you know, came.
But he knew Russian.
Anyway, after the class he came and he spoke Russian to me. The only question he had, how come I could sit that straight the whole time?
Yeah, but you don't tell him that. No, lots of practice, you know, pranayama.
No, he was so impressed.
Pranayama. Yes, I've been doing this since I was 3. I prefer to do it standing on my head, but, you know, it closed off the audience and that, so therefore I sit. Yeah, I probably went to school somewhere in one of the Russian. Because they all know Russian when they go there.
Yeah,
because the main point here is there's movement. That's the discussion here. It's not a discussion on about the changing the body. It's a point that the jiva leaves this body and moves. Because otherwise, the Mayavada is just saying, you know, the jiva being unmovable and all-pervading and all that. Therefore, he can't move. He doesn't need to move to be in another place. He's already all-pervading. But here it's saying, no, he's small and he moves. So that's just the opposite of their philosophy. Yes?
Whereas in Gita, one place it's mentioned it's immovable. How do we understand that?
Immovable.
Soul is immovable.
Immovable. What's the other part of it? What's the rest of the shloka?
Unmovable, unchangeable, infinite. I have to refer, but there is one term directly immovable.
And what does Prabhupada say in the purport?
I don't think it's elaborated on that. That point. Maybe I'll check on that.
Technique is working. Technique is working.
So I found in these cases, because Sanskrit and whatever language it is translated into, it's not exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't says what it is, but even Srila Prabhupada, he says the Sanskrit is very exact language. So many terms in English, they not how you say. They just give you an idea, but
yeah,
it's not exactly what it means.
Yes.
So it could be, especially when it's from Srila Prabhupada, it's a next translation into like a Spanish or Russian or Chinese.
Yeah.
That makes it very confusing for those who, you know, get into, you know, like wording. What words are there?
Because there's a mood, that's why you have to see what's the mood that's being made there. Because also when it says, hearing one class of Prabhupada saying about Sarva Dharma Parityaja means give up all man-made religions. Right? And just surrender to me. In other words, follow what Krishna gives. You know, devotion. Like that. So, in a different place, he'll explain what it is. Or in one place, you're saying that, you know, the soul's, you know, all pervading. But what it means is it pervades the body. Whatever it is, it will pervade that. It doesn't matter how big or how small, it'll pervade. You know, but it'll be taken as, oh, they're all pervading, like, you know, throughout everything. But they're not. Because otherwise, why don't you know what's going on in the next body? Is that, yeah. So that's not what they're talking about. So you have to see is what's the purpose here. You know, immovable, then, you know, what is the context that they're talking about immovable?
Yes.
I heard it like, because it's situated, localized at one place. That's what is the reference of immovable, that you can move your hand.
But it doesn't move.
It doesn't move. But
okay.
When your body is functioning.
It's not that it has to go flying out to the end of your, down your finger, zoop, like that. And then, you know, as you pull it back, then it has to pull back inside.
So it has the quality
of consciousness.
You'd
get really tired doing that, wouldn't you?
It has that quality of consciousness to pervade and function. The soul himself will not
move. Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
That's what I thought. Fixed in a certain place.
Yeah. Because they say localized.
Localized, exactly.
Fixed in a certain place. We're good?
When one body to another body it is moving, how do you understand that?
Okay. The statement Esho Nur Atma, Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1, is in the section dealing with Paramatma. This is the Purva Paksha, no?
I forgot to write it. It's within the Uttaramas. This is the Purva Paksha because it's in the quotations. This is another Purva Paksha. The statement on this.
Okay, so then this is the next Purva Paksha.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so then you should write that in. Okay, this one here, Purva Paksha. The statement, Esho Nur Atma, Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.1, is in the section dealing with Paramatma. Does not the word refer to Paramatma, indicating that he is hard to understand, Anu? No, then there's the Uttara. No, it is not Paramatma, because the pranas are also mentioned. Right, so it can't be Paramatma who's moving or leaving like that. It means that it's referring to the jiva. The Paramatma is also going. But it's that, because the pranas are mentioned, so that's pranas are connected with the soul. So. Shuti?
When you say the Atma and Paramatma, they are moving in the same time? Is that the basis?
Yeah, because the soul is always with Paramatma. How would the soul function without Krishna?
Yes, yes.
So they're always with Krishna. When the soul comes here, the Krishna comes with them. But he comes in a localized form.
Yes, yes.
Because as Bhagavan, you're ignoring him. So then he comes as the Ishwara.
Yes.
You know, to control, regulate the situation.
Mm-hmm. Like and Paramatma is always with the jiva.
But in the spiritual world, you're always with Bhagavan, so then yes. Paramatma is not there.
Yes.
He doesn't have to come as Paramatma, yes.
It's explained and put it in a very nice words. I just couldn't get through it again. That jiva, he desires to move. And it's by the shakti of Paramatma, the jiva moves. That's why we never say it, like, why is it cannot be Paramatma? Because it's not jiva moves and then the Paramatma is moving, following him. It's another one example is given in between that. It's like the air through which the fragrance can move. It's the Paramatma is that air which is the basis on which any movement can happen for the jivas. Because without his shakti, the jivas cannot operate.
Yes. Yes.
So he's a sanctioner, so we don't say in that way that the jiva prana follows, means like the Paramatma doesn't follow the jiva.
Mm-hmm.
The jiva has to obey the Paramatma's sanction.
Yeah. Means you're starting from which aspect you're looking at. If you're looking at the Lord's position, you're looking at the jivas,
yes, yes,
and all that. So it's just a matter of, you know, it'd be just like you saying, okay, the parents are there, you know, the parents are the, you know, the legal authority of the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So then one could have a doubt, well, do they take care of the needs of the child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's just they're in control. And if you look at it from the child's perspective, he needs this, he needs that, the parents arrange and everything like that. So then the doubt could come up. So does that mean the child's in control or the parents? Because we just heard that the parents are the authority, but then at the same time as the child, it's all about them. So who you know what I'm saying? Because there's relationship. And so then, therefore, these things go together. Because we're always looking at this idea that I'm God, or you know, if someone else is God, then I'm not God, and then what? You know, rather than there's a relationship, right? So we don't take up that relationship with Krishna. We come to the material platform. We give up that material platform. We don't go to Krishna. We just get to the liberated platform. So it's only when you accept that relationship with Krishna. So for Vaishnavas, then everything works very nicely because of the relationship. You know, so then what is important for cultivating and developing that relationship? That's the perspective. You know, it's just like, let us say there are you know, so many questions are there. But you know, you have to be in an appointment in 5 minutes, and it takes 5 minutes to get there. Do you have time to discuss all those questions? Why not? You have something more important. So everything's seen in its proportion. So that's the thing, is that you have to see things in the context of what is useful in moving forward in Krishna consciousness, that is accepted. And what's not, is not. And so for an individual, they may find that they have to get into all these little funny little details to be satisfied in their own intellect that this is worth following. And so for them, then yes, they ask. But at the same time, as we see from the example of the acharyas and other personalities, that's not the questions they asked. You know, they were also in that situation. And then what they asked, that brought them to the perfectional platform. You know, so in other words, these things are just for them to develop some basic, you know, saying, oh, without this, how can I have the faith? The faith is the first step. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, there's sometimes in these things, well, there's the idea that what they're doing is they're quite advanced. So, you know, others, you know, because I'm asking all these things because I'm so intelligent. But actually, if it's only just to establish their faith or stuff, then that's the first step. You know, you have another 8 to go. You know. Or if it's just, you know, interesting, then yes, so is so many other things. So is, you know, what's going on in the, you know, the world, you know, world soccer, you know, league, you know, what's happening there, who's the big players, which team is there? That's also interesting. You know, or what's on the menu for lunch today? That's even more interesting. You know, like that. So you could so many things to be talked about. But the thing is you have to see it in the context of what's going to make me go forward in Krishna consciousness. And will this make you go forward? Will it help you? Does that make sense? Yeah.
It is why it is very important to know where we want to go.
Yes, where we want to go.
If this is not clarified, it's always here and there.
Yes. Yes, because you're going to have the aspect of the knowledge, but then ultimately the point is taste is in relationship. So you have to, the knowledge is useful in as much as it helps you cultivate that relationship. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times you see in discussions, you've said something, and if someone can find a contradiction or a fault,
yes,
they want to make that the discussion rather than the point of discussion.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say I give an example, you know, using potatoes. But then if somebody brings up the point as, you know, why are you talking about potatoes? You know, the starch and that, you know, you can get diabetes and all these things like that, and the hard carbohydrates and that. We should be cutting down on potatoes and all this and that, and especially in the modern potatoes. You know, they're not like the old potatoes that had this and that. That's not the conversation. You know what I'm saying? So even though, yeah, it's a point that one could discuss, it doesn't mean that it's what should be discussed. So one has to see that does this help my Krishna consciousness? And if you're convinced that it is, then yes, you ask. You know, but other motives that it's just something of curiosity or something to argue or something, you know, it's like he was saying this side is curiosity and Prabhu was saying it's just to argue. It's just something to argue about. You know, so these different audiences then means you work with what you can deal with. You know, so like you see Prabhu comes out with very nice things and it just works really well. So makes sense. Yeah. Yes.
Also, this word of pragya has been explained in the term it is jiva, not the intelligence. These terms are used because by the qualities it can refer, because whatever terms we are using to refer to a meaning, it's based on the qualities that it has that meaning. And then because the qualities, like no, there is similarity in qualities, then the word also can refer to the higher one, because the body, like the pervasive aspect or something like that. So then when we first understand the name of the Lord is transcendental, then form, then qualities, when you understand the qualities, actually to understand the qualities is a very high level of realization. Only then the contradictions will all be resolved, like, because you understand it's a quality, not just, then we can understand the whole tattva also exactly.
From the qualities.
From the qualities, because it's all about...
Because the qualities are where the action is. And the action is where is the abhideya. And then the abhideya is to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. So the tattva is important because that's the situation in which everything is and what's the relationship. Mm-hmm. But more important than that then is operating that relationship, working in that relationship for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. Right? So that's then the... You have the knowledge, you act in that knowledge to please Krishna. Then it becomes balanced.
After you realize the qualities and the opposites, then one understands the past tense, and then higher than that is one can participate in the past tense.
Hmm.
That's how everybody goes through all the stages.
Probably. Yes.
In their realization.
Yeah. Yeah. Shruti linga vakya prakarana stana samakyanam samavaye para durlabhyam artha vipar viprakarshat. When there is a combination of literal meaning, interpretive meaning, alternating syntax referring to other texts, philosophical stance, and etymological meaning, the latter methods are considered progressively weaker in authority because of the possibility of the producing contrary meanings. Jaimini Sutra 3.3.14. So there's literal meaning is first, then interpretive meaning, then alternating the syntax. What does that mean? It means adjusting the prefixes and affixes and all that stuff. Okay, referring to other texts. So then you take that and then you take it to a different text and then you argue off that text rather than on the text you're on. Right? Philosophical stance, you have your particular hermeneutics that you are using. And etymological meaning. So etymological is the weakest. Because you have to see how it's being progressing, because from the root you can start off in one way, but from that you can get so many words. Because there's only 2,000 roots. Of that 1,200 are generally used. Mm-hmm. And from that you can get, you know, basically millions of words. So that means you could start off and end up in the wrong place.
Yes.
When you apply the grammar. So that's what you see is that when it says that, you know, this word means and it gives like 5 or 6 meanings and sometimes they're very different than each other.
Yes.
So you have to be careful where you're going with it. You have to see it in the context of the direct meaning. So then these other things can give support. Mm-hmm. But you have to be... Because it's one of the things is that also Vyasadeva is Murka Shaktikam, the 100 kinds of fools is one who always discusses things based on the etymological meaning. Because he'll miss the point. You know, just like someone who everything he does is according to astrology. He's also another fool. You know, because there's a higher purpose of these. These are mechanics to you. It's not that everything you do with that. Does that make sense?
So when people generally refer that this is the literal meaning, they're referring to the etymological meaning.
Yeah,
they're not
looking at the literal meaning of what is used here, how it's used in the context. Because the literal meanings, then you could take it for each word. You could probably end up some really wild sentence, you know. You know, it's like how you say something that you ask, what is it? You know, these voice recognition.
Siri.
Hmm?
Siri.
Yeah, Siri or something. So I remember once I said something, and the sentences came up was so hilarious, like that. Had absolutely nothing to do with what I was saying. But, yes.
Also in Chaitanya Lila, Mahaprabhu himself, when he played that role of a Nyaya teacher, he showed us that, you know, by Nyaya, just more jugglery, you can do anything.
Yeah.
But then he gave it up because it's lowest.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lowest level. And he was harassing devotees. And I mean, he had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But then he gave it up, showing that this is not the level, because if you're smart, if your mind is fast, you can do anything with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can prove whatever.
Whoever is the quickest, then. Yeah, no, it's true. Very true. That's interesting. Yeah, so I think Prakashananda Saraswati, he didn't know what he was getting into. Because on logic, you know, you could take him and wrap him around his finger, but that's not the point.
Also, in that pastimes, the first, he criticized Mahaprabhu, but he never saw him in person.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he met him, he was completely, his heart changed.
Mm.
Because you know, he realized that this is something else.
Mm.
And then he became, you know, devotee.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Can you say that I have some doubt about the literal meaning? Can we say that
doubt about the literal meaning?
Yeah. And we say the literal meaning is like it is a meaning according to the intent of the person who is saying or writing?
Yes. But because another what's used before is direct meaning.
Yes.
Because here's interpretive means indirect, and literal means direct.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, say somebody translates Gita and says, you know, with literal meaning.
Yes.
Complete nonsense. Like that. What Prabhupada says, that's as it is.
Yes.
And then when you start changing it, no, that's how you would like it to be.
Yes.
Bhagavad Gita, as I like it.
Yes.
You know?
It would become popular.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure how popular it is, but yeah.
Fill in the gap.
Yeah.
You like it.
Well, that's what the gap's for, is, you know, there's too much of a gap there, like in the cement, and that you stick that Gita in that gap, fill it up so you don't trip. Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Except for the direct meaning, all other meanings you use very purposefully because you want to keep it little. Like indirect meaning adds an ornament, like in a kavya.
Mm.
And then philosophical stance and etymological meaning are generally used in Vedic texts so that it remains hidden from the normal populace, like who don't know, qualify. Because unless you understand, you have that submission.
So these others, they'll hide something.
Hide something, yes.
Either, you know, in a meaningful way, as Krishna may hide things in the Bible, or they're trying to hide the literal meaning for their own interpretation.
Yes.
But Thich Nhat Hanh also sometimes he mentions traditional meaning.
Traditional, yes. How people use, because you're going to use the words how people are using them now. So the difficulty comes up sometimes is that, either people don't know what the... Because it's one thing if you know what the word means and then that's how people are using it. So you use it like that. That's all right. So then, like we say, the guy's cool. We're talking about temperament. We're not talking about temperature. But if you only think of, temperature-wise, then you'll say, you know, why, he's cold, does he need a sweater or something, like that, so you have to know what it's applying to, because in other words, the one who's arguing over it, over the etymological meaning, he doesn't know the context that it's used. And so then one has to be... Because there's so many times the acharyas say, you know, it's used like this, so that's why then they're using it. But they're explaining what it means. So then it's clear. Because the idea is you're supposed to be giving an understanding to somebody. But that's why they also use certain words. You have to know what those means. Like we saw, that chapter, the next class, it's not on gallants. At all. No, nobody cares about gallants. You know? That they're just like, they're annoying. But expert gallants.
Yes, yes.
Now that, now there's a theme yes, in your story.
Yes, yes.
So the word expert is very important in this context.
Yes.
You know, like it said, expert in loving affairs.
Yes.
It didn't say, you know, he knows them or... You know, he's a scholar in them, or no, it says expert. Because expert means there's a particular, you know, ability that is there. You know, the knowledge and this knowledge and skill are at a very high level. That's then what you're talking about.
But Maharaj, in this case, we can take the direct meaning or some other meaning according to the intent.
Yes, yes, that's always there. But you see the context. What I'm meaning is that the acharyas are using words how people use them. But at the same time as they're also putting in points to make sure. Like, you know, like super soul. Because super, you know, we're big, you know, like that. It's the best. So then we say super soul. He's the biggest and best of the souls. So it works. So Prabhupada's used, you know, local language to exactly say the thing. But you also have to appreciate all the words used. So I'm saying here is like an example, the expert. Because that's always one that, when there's ever a discussion on the gallant aspect, guaranteed, 100%, everyone will ignore specifically the word expert. Even you explain it, it means zero to them. Because then they can't use all the etymological and all these other meanings. Because then it takes on the direct meaning, and no one wants that. When you're dealing with issues, no one wants a direct meaning. They want an alternative meaning that they can interpret and deal with how they want. They want to be able to alter the syntax, refer to others, you know, use some other things. They want to be able to do that. So you know, they always want to use chala. They always want to shift it. But Prabhupada puts in these words that means that you can't shift it. He's not talking about any old gallant. He's talking about an expert gallant. And an expert gallant has these 33 qualities. So if it doesn't have that, that's not what we're talking about. You know, otherwise it'll be, oh, but Prabhupada says this, you know, is he supporting this or he's supporting that? He said, this is the context. You know. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
But this is very funny, this type of presentation, that we can move out of the Krishna consciousness. Very easy.
Because so easily, because it's just like Krishna consciousness is something that you value. There's some mundane political position that I value.
Yes.
Therefore, it's also Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
You know, it's misimplied logic.
Yes. Yes. It's,
So one has to be careful about that.